is, Father, we worship you this morning, Lord God. We thank you for your presence here, Lord God. We thank you for what you preordained, what you want to do today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you've got an appointment with all of us, with all our hearts, Lord God. Father, that none of us can say today, Lord God, that we have it all, that we know it all, Lord God. That we can just be humble and open our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, where you want to minister to us, Father, we pray that all distractions will go away in Jesus' name, Lord. That we can focus on you and your word, Lord God, what you want to say to us today, Lord. Yes, we worship you, God, and we thank you for your word that is so powerful and strong, Lord God. We thank you for scripture, Lord God. We thank you for the person standing or sitting next to us, Lord God. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. Thank you for what you are doing through us, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that you called us, Lord God, that you decided in eternity, Lord God, that you want us to be co-workers with you, Lord God, that you gave us a job description, that you gave us something to do, Lord God. And oh, Lord, we ask, Lord God, that you will come and build us up, Lord, that you'll give us boldness and strength and courage, Lord God. Oh, Lord, and thank you that we can daily see, Lord God, that you are at work, Lord God, that your hand is all around us, Lord God. Pray that you'll open up our minds and our hearts, Lord, to receive what you want us to hear today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Unfortunately, Theo Potgieter isn't here right now. He shared a dream that he had in the previous the Afrikaans sermon. Now, it's interesting. Actually, we want to congratulate Theo together with all the other fathers in the house. Little baby girl were born last Sunday, and I think Tuesday afternoon Theo, so he's on the preaching roster, so he asked me if I could stand in for him, but God still had an appointment with him. But I'm just very quickly going to share what he shared, just because I believe it's really relevant to today. And he basically, to put it in a line or two, he just shared about a dream he had, and it was basically about God's judgment, you know. That there will be a judgment, and you know that God basically just, in a sense, just raptured him for a little while, just to see or get a eagle's or a peek or a view of, you know, how that will be. So, asked you a little bit about the dream he had. I think it's always something where we should just pay attention. What I want to share, I'm going to start reading today. I want to read to us from Luke 5, verse 27 to 32. And I just feel that what Theo dreamt and what he had on his heart, you know, and it was just that one part about God's, who God is, and that God will judge all of us one day. Now, I'm going to share here from Luke 5, verse 27 to 32. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at a table with him. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Powerful scripture, beautiful scripture, strong scripture. And just a little bit on the Pharisees, you know, they almost believed, you know, if you, from the Hebrew, the name, the term Pharisees derived from the Hebrew word meaning the separate one. You know, so in a sense, the Hebrews almost believed, apart from the works part, they believed in salvation by separation. Okay, you are sick, you are bad, I don't touch you, then I stay, I'm not going to get defiled or anything, I will stay clean. You know, so the in the middle, in the ancient Near East, you know, meals were a very public thing. There was a lot of people, you could see the guys eating together. And the Pharisees had a big issue that Jesus ate with all these sinners and tax collectors and the others, you know, because that, in a sense, gave the impression that it was compatible, you know, that it was okay to do that. And the Pharisees, they had a big problem with that. That was a big no-no for them. And then, you know, this powerful words of Jesus, you know, he said, you know, those who are sick, they're not in, or he said that, you know, those who are well are not in need of a physician, but those who are sick. And then he said, I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. I have come to call the sinners to repentance. And if you look in all the Gospels, you know, Jesus spoke and he said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. You always have this thing. Now, that's just where I started. And as I said, it really ties in with the dream that T shared a little bit later. As I said, maybe go and ask him a little bit. But this thing about repentance, you know, in the natural world, you know, if you are sick, let's ask the fathers in the house. It's our special day. You know, as men, we can be very sick sometimes. When we are sick, we become very useless. We can do nothing. It doesn't happen very often, but when the day when we are sick, then we are sick. And then we go and we phone a doctor. We go visit the doctor. If we are really, really, really sick, I guess we can ask the doctor to come to us if you're so privileged to know a doctor that well. But you know, Jesus had it all, did it the other way around. He went, in a sense, hunting for the sick. Jesus said, I came, you know. He came and he touched the sick. He laid hands on the sick. He ate with them, you know. And it was not just the physical sick. It was also people that were spiritually sick. People that were really in need of a savior. Now, it was just so... repentance and salvation, these things have always been something very close to my heart, something special to my heart, something I experienced myself and something that I've seen so many times in front of my eyes. And, you know, if I just look back, and I'm going to refer a few times to the men's camp, we had, praise God for the amazing time that we spent there, the men, just to clarify it, if there was any misunderstanding, we didn't just bribe all the time. We had awesome time in God's presence, worshiping, listening to Pastor Sias and Stephen Lungu and Mac and the guys. It was really a blessing. So, but you know, on Saturday or Sunday morning, when we baptized those 7 or 10 men, it was just such the evidence again of that work that God is doing in our hearts. Old person, his life is past, there's a full stop behind. God is starting with a new story. We also spoke at the... Awaken about a beautiful story, you know. God starting a new work in all of our lives. Now, salvation, I just want to read it to you. Stepping by grace and through faith into a living relationship, you know. Stepping into a living relationship with God. And I just had to reflect on it. I listened to Stephen Lungu's story. And for those of you, the ladies or the people who weren't there, you really have to listen to his testimony. Just the way he grew up, the way he was basically left on his own, the way he got hurt, how his heart became hardened, and then eventually turned to a gangster and a terrorist and really become a bad guy in our normal way of talking, you know. And I sat during the week and I thought, like, shoot, God, when I came to Christ, I didn't have the drinking problem, I was studying, I was kind of a good guy in my own opinion, you know. But I needed salvation just as much as that bad guy, in a sense, who was living under the bridge. And sometimes it's easier for us to think, well, that guy really needs God, than those of us who are fairly, you know, fairly good people, not behaving weird in any very obvious sense. But I needed salvation just as much, you know. I also had to come to a place of, I repent from you know, believing that my works are good and I'm a good person, you know. But that doesn't help us anything. That there where Jesus speaks about repentance, you know, that's from the Greek word metanoia, which means to have another mind, to start to make something fresh, you know, or to change one's mind or attitude and the purpose regarding sin. Now, it's very clear, and I love the stories, you know, when we take God's word and we see what happened in Scripture, and we see the same things happening all around us every day or daily. You know, it's so beautiful to see that God's Word is still at work. You know, God don't change. What He does doesn't change. You know, our former ways, all those things have passed. And Tuesday morning, I took Pastor Mac to the airport. Now, just before I tell that story, we're a growing church. You know, we are growing. It's really a privilege to be part of something what God is doing. Our small groups are growing. We've had a church service in Walfish Bay this morning. God is really extending, you know, our reach and adding people. And that is so precious. And I believe, you know, as we sit here, some of us really have a heart for the worship team, and some really have a heart for small groups or for mothers, kiddies church, or whatever it might be. God gave us different jobs inside the church. But something that's really important to my heart is, you know, that we stay close to biblical doctrine, you know, that we don't believe false things. Because if you have something false in your heart, you know, in terms of what you believe or believe regarding Scripture, you can pass it on to someone else. And that's where we'll see many sects and heresies and stuff come from, and people following those things. Now, Pastor Mac, those of you who know him, he's a good evangelist. And we sat at the airport waiting a little while for his them to board. And a lady served us a coffee, and I think he had a big Milo. And, you know, Mac took her hand and he asked her, "So, are you a child of God?" And the lady said, "Yes, we are all children of God." And then Mac said, "No, we're not." Okay? It's important that we understand that God loves us all, but we're not all children of God. If we refer to being born again, if we refer to what we saw in Stephen Lungu's life, in my life, in many of your lives and testimonies, okay? We only become a Christian, you know? When we came to a place of saying yes to God, there must be fruits of repentance. There must be evidence of a new life. A theologian, Stephen Fernandez, I read an awesome article that he wrote a while ago, and I just want to read it to you. He said, the concept, and he's talking now about salvation or regeneration, the word that Scripture talks about. He says, the concept has been so weakened and diluted of its biblical meaning that people without any concrete evidence of lasting spiritual change are routinely regarded as being born-again Christians. Okay? So we can't just say, yes, we are all children of God, and then just think the way when you was born today, you are born a child of God. You are not. I am not. There needs to come a place in our lives where we say yes to Jesus, when we turn from our old ways, from our former ways, where God is making us new, something really powerful, something really beautiful. A while ago, I remember in a conversation, a family member of mine, now her son is dating a lady that she's a Buddhist. And we had a convert, but they weren't there, and we were talking about, and you know, and then, you know, knowing that I'm a pastor, she looked at me and she said, "But you know, actually, at the end of the day, all the faiths are the same." But it's not. That's not the truth. Okay, there's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. You know, there's in our lives, in going in the media, you know, there's so many heresies and nonsense going around. You know, we would like to believe that we are all children of God, okay? It makes us feel good. But you're only a child of God if you stepped into that place and said yes to Christ, you know? Then you really become a child of God. I want to read, and I'm going to come back to this part in Luke because it's important for the rest of the sermon. I also want to read to you from, and this is really the scripture that I feel, that I have on my heart for today, that I feel that God want to hold it before us. And it's from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us, he said, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, even if I weren't a pastor, I would say, yo, you can preach a sermon from that, can't you? Amen? I really believe it's powerful. We got this beautiful ministry of reconciliation. The moment that we become children of God the moment we are saved, when we are born again, when we are regenerated, when we become a new Christian. It's almost like God is placing this ball in our hands. And he say, this what you have received right now, okay? I made you new. I clean you, okay? It was prophesied there in Jeremiah, I think it's Jeremiah or no, in Ezekiel 36 there somewhere. You know, he said, he will sprinkle our hearts. He will clean it. That's where it was prophesied about, basically what's happening in John 3, verse 3. Being born again, becoming a new person. And now here, Paul is writing and he's saying, listen, I'm giving this ministry of reconciliation. I'm giving it to you, okay? You must become ambassadors for Christ. You must become ambassadors for Christ. Now, we know this word also in our secular world, Namibia, our country. We've got ambassadors doing Windhoek. If you drive there, you'll see Spanish flags and all different nations, Taiwanese, and I'm not sure who has and who doesn't have ambassadors, someone representing their country here in Namibia, okay? And we also, as a country in Namibia, the government, the president, they sent ambassadors of our country to other nations to represent Namibia. Now, sometimes, if you are an ambassador, you can be in hot water. You know, if your country is let's say messing up, that country will call in the ambassador of that nation and say, please explain to us what's happening there. It's happened recently in South Africa a few times with the xenophobia stuff. You know, where certain countries wanted to know what is happening here. But for me and for you, when Scripture talk, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, we need to understand who we are representing here. Okay? Who is this God? Nah? And it's so important and so, yeah, that we know who our God is, who we are representing. And there comes a big responsibility with being an ambassador for Christ. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands who wants to be an ambassador for Christ. That's something that needs to be in our hearts. But, you know, we need to grow in our Christ-likeness. We need to become more like Jesus Christ. And as we grow in becoming ambassadors for Christ, it needs to be reflecting in our lives. And there's now a place where we can stand still for a while and say, okay, guys, let's talk to each other. What does that mean? It need to reflect in our talking, the way we are talking to each other, the way we are talking in our workplaces, the words that we speak. It needs to be in our thinking, you know. So I don't know what you are thinking right now. Maybe you think, maybe can't this guy just pray and we can all go home? Or maybe something else. You don't know what I'm actually thinking right now. I can think about my feet right now, okay? But that's a place where we also need to be ambassadors for Christ, you know? It doesn't help we sit in church or go to a small group and have the holy smile, you know? And there's a lot of dangerous, ugly things happening in our hearts and minds. I believe when we are ambassadors for Christ, you know, it needs to reflect in our marriages. It needs to reflect in our children, okay? Because we are representing God here. We are representing God. So it need to be in our church, in our attitudes towards leaders, in our attitudes towards, you know, Romans 13, the leaders of our nation. We can't say with the one word, yes, no, I'm a Christian, this and that, and on the other side we talk and we don't have that same beautiful, almost that thing of representing Jesus. Okay? So that thing of stepping into a living relationship with Jesus Christ. It reminded me of my wife, a story that she told when she was in her early 20s. She didn't know the Lord yet. She was a hairdresser. And I remember she said an older lady came to her and asked her, so do you have a living relationship with Jesus Christ? And she said, no. And then she very quickly said, but my uncle has, you know. Now, that doesn't help you a lot. That won't help you a lot. And as I said, it's so profound what I felt, that dream that Theo had, just about judgment and that place where we just have to understand that God is going to judge our works. He's going to judge who we are. And, you know, God is seeing our hearts. I can stand here and I can smile, or you can stand, but you know, God sees our hearts and our attitudes and all of those things. We can't hide it from God. So God has to come and he has to put something very pure in our hearts. It doesn't help if you stand one day before God and it's about, do you have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ? And then you say, no, but my dad had, or my wife had, okay? That's not going to help us a lot. This ministry of reconciliation, God reconciling this world to himself, me and you, and God is really calling us, yeah, Shofar, Swakopmund, you know, to be ambassadors in this city, ambassadors in this nation for Jesus Christ, you know, representing him. We had the privilege, I think it was the Saturday at lunch, Stephen Lungu was walking past, and me and Jaku's brother and Gijs Kirsten, we were in a one chalet, and we almost lured him there with some, like a fat beersbultong, some, like a fat beersbultong. Carol, believe it's everyone understands the translation. And he just came and sat with us, and we started talking, and, you know, just, we heard that Saturday morning his testimony about how he grew up basically deserted under the bridge with a long story of hurt and things. And then he shared a little bit later just how, you know, he spoke in the Australian Parliament and so many places where God has placed him to be ambassador, to point to Christ, to call people and say, listen, this and that, it's not from God. And let me tell you, he said he shared many times regarding leadership, you know, and being a Christian leader. And you know what, people? I think I sat there and I just listened to him. He's many, 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 many years my senior. And you can just see something in this man, that God is just there. You can see something shining from him. I remember in 2007, a Shofar mission team, we went to Nepal, we were there, and there were Indian missionaries staying in the same hotel or the same backpackers as ours. And I remember there was a small old man. And we just spoke to the other missionaries. They were also there in Kathmandu doing mission work. And the part of the team, they fellowshipped with the one night and we worshiped together or something. And I remember the last evening. Now, we were all young people, younger than 30 years old, you know, we sat there, and I had the same thing as I saw in Stephen Lungu and in many other really generals of God. He sat there, and he asked us, and I think our team leader asked him to just share a little bit with us, you know, just to minister a little bit, and he asked, so, what do you want me to share on? And I thought, like, I don't like that question, because I need to prepare a long time before I share on something. And I could see he knew the gospel. He knew scripture from A to Z. And we sat there on the floor in that little small backpackers. And, you know, he started talking. I think it actually was on the fear of God. You know, and it's almost like sitting at the feet of Jesus. This old gentleman, he was probably in his late 60s or 70s, short man. But when he started to speak, you could just see, we were quiet. We really became quiet. And I think all of us felt like we don't know a lot. This is an ambassador of Christ. This man, he laid down his life for Christ, you know. He's walking, you know, his deeds and his the things, the fruit that his life has. It was so remarkable. And I remember he sat there and he ministered to us. And I think we all had that feeling of don't stop. You know, I think Stephen Lungu the weekend, he said, you must throw away the watches, you know, this gadget and just listen. Don't have a time limit. And I remember that evening so clearly where he was just ministering to us. And I believe it's a challenge for us. I believe some of you are sitting here this morning and you feel maybe I want to be ambassador for Christ, but I lack boldness. Maybe you feel so bad about yourself, about the things you thought or said in the past week. Or you think like, my doctrine isn't strong enough. Maybe God will use someone else that has a degree or a this or a that in theology, which is a lie from the enemy. Many times we will feel that thing about, I'm not good enough. Maybe God will use someone else. or you think you're going to start shaking, or what will your family think? A while ago, I sat there with family members, and I don't know how the conversation came to the devil, but the one family member said, "Joach, you know, the devil don't really exist, and show me the devil," and my children were there, and I really just felt like I need to say something, because that's a lie being spoken into their lives. It's not like we are worshiping the devil or anything, but we need to acknowledge he's there. And at that moment, I just got this thing where God just said to me, and you know, sometimes it's especially challenging to talk to your family about your own conviction about the word, because it becomes very emotional. I guess other families, you guys have the same experience. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to that thing to me. What will we use here? He said, gravity. It's a powerful force. Show me gravity. You can't see it. But you know, if you throw that thing, we know it's there. If you fly in an aeroplane, a big Boeing, and you switch off that engine, that big tons of steel and metal and stuff, it's going to come down. And it's the same with God. You can't always see and touch God or the devil. But both are there. Both are at work. Okay? And it's just so awesome how faithful God is. How faithful the Holy Spirit is. And I said to that gentleman, just like, you know, it's almost like gravity. I can point at this wood. God is there except for the word and the things created around us. But we need to be ready and trust the Holy Spirit to give us words and answers to testify, to be an ambassador. Because what I used to do, I used always to avoid arguments like that. And it's easier not to confront a father, a mother, or a sister, or someone close about, you know, your own faith, etc. It's sometimes easier for some of us to avoid that conflict that might come from a discussion like that. But it's God's heart. We need to represent him here. Now, where the Pharisees had this thing about being separate, and then you will be pure, and then it will be, in a sense, your salvation. You know, Jesus was exactly the opposite. You know, they washed his feet. He touched the sinners. And God gave the same ministry. He gave this ministry of reconciliation to all of us. I want to read to you also, let me read to you here from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Okay? Go, please go home and read that part in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about the ambassador for Christ, the ministry of reconciliation, about being in Christ, about God making us new. And then here, a little bit earlier, Paul is writing and he says, you know, that through us, he spreads this fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. And I think if you take a globe, a while ago we had these globes at Awaken, I think we handed it out. And you know, there's all around the world is this pockets of where God is at work, where there's believers, where there's this sweet fragrance of what God is doing, where God is at work. Now, I believe that is what God called us for. You know, everything in church is important. But I believe this ministry of reconciliation, of salvation, of bringing this sweet fragrance, that's what we should be. That is really what God called us to be. And I just, in the week, you know, I had a scripture on my heart, and it's challenging. It's not always easy to be an ambassador for Christ. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, here close to Fruit and Veg in town. You know, I was driving somewhere, can't remember, and there was a guy in a smaller bucky, than mine, fortunately, in front of me, and the guy just started to reverse. you know, to drive backwards. And I thought, what's he doing? And I just hit the tooter, or the hooter, why you say it, the hooter, just to say to him, listen, there's someone behind you, but clearly the person didn't hear it. And he just drove back, doof, into my car. Now, fortunately for me, I had a bumper, an iron bumper, that was really hard, and it hit his car where it's really soft. So, you know, what he sowed, he's going to reap. He got hurt a little bit more. But I didn't know at first what happened. I just felt really this guy, he just drove back because he had an excuse later on, which was silly. But nevertheless, now I got out. Now, you probably thought about this. Sometimes you'll drive in town, you'll see there's two people standing, two cars at the awkward place. There's a police car, and there's a lot of lights and stuff, those red ones especially, lying there on the floor, and you drive by and you think, I'm so glad it's not me. Someone drove into someone else right now. It's really bad. Now, when I got out of my car, you know, fruits of the Spirit isn't the first thing that come to your mind. So I just walked past, and the guy already started saying sorry, because there's no way I could be wrong in this thing. He knew he was wrong. He certainly did something stupid. Now, I didn't say a word. I just started looking at my car, what the damage might be. Now, praise God, it's just a little bit of the paint that's off my bumper. So put a bumper on your car. It's good for protection. But you know what? If I got out there and I said, you so-and-so, and I grabbed him by the shirt and I started cursing him and kicking him and saying, you idiot, or this or that, you know, and that man sit here. You're not here this morning. And that guy sat here. And he thought, like, this man is preaching to me today. If I were him, I also would have walked out. I really didn't say anything. He just said, sorry, sorry, all the time. He didn't see. And then I saw there's not real damage. And I just got in my car and I drove away. Okay, I didn't hug him or something very like that. You know, I couldn't do that. But you see, that's about something about being an ambassador. That's about something about this aroma. Now we get it wrong. We get it wrong. I just could have misbehaved there. And what testimony? If he came here by accident, or maybe God sent him, and as I said, I was preaching, and he think this man is preaching the gospel. He wanted to hit me, and he this and this and that, you know. So we need to be so careful of the aroma that we send out. You know, sometimes I had to do it. Sometimes we misbehave, men especially, fathers, husbands, at home, you know. And you have to go to your children and say to them, listen, the way I spoke to your mom right now, it was wrong. Or the way I spoke to your brother, or to the kettle or the stove that just burnt me, that was wrong. They will have more respect for you than when you just blame it on the stove that was hot. We used to like to do that. I had the privilege last year, November, our whole family came together. And for some reason, they asked me to share something there. It was close to the end of the year and just celebrating. But the people that held it is then Regenstein in Windhoek. So there's this beautiful, beautiful little chapel. And then almost in the mountains, I don't know if one of you have been there. And they asked me to share something. And I started off by joking really with my family, because I know this hardcore Afrikaans German men in my family, you know. And I could speak to all of them and say, you know, we are never wrong in our family. I know the men in my family. And I said, you know, all the ladies married to a Holtz, you know, we are always right. We are never wrong. And I could just really tease, and everyone just had a great laugh. But sometimes, people, we have to go and say to our own households even, sorry for setting a bad example. If you do it at work, if you got out of that car and you hurt the person driving into you, you know, some maybe if it's on your heart, you know, you should go back and you should repent for misbehaving, because there's actually a badge on a born-again Christian's life, you know. And we can't decide when we want to be an ambassador. and when not. People will know you. And I guess in the years to come, one of you might come to me and say, listen, remember that sermon? What you did or say right now, it's not good. We make mistakes. We will miss the mark. We need God's grace every day so much for everything, for having our light shining. I remember Pastor Sias always tells the story, Sias LaRue, then Stellenbosch, you know, he once asked the students, how do you know if someone was in God's presence? And the one lady, the young student girl, she stood up and she said, my face is always shining, you know. And then he looked at her and he didn't want to say it, but your face is not shining. So I guess it's been a while since you've been in God's presence. But I guess she really meant it well. But you know, in a sense, we should have that shining faces. We should have this fragrance. Now, I know it's not always easy. There's times when you don't feel like going to church or to small group or whatever. I tell you, I'll bet the money I have that all of you have somewhere in your life been offended by church, offended by a church leader, offended by a people in a place of authority. It happened to me many times. It happened to most of you probably also a few times. But you know, we can't use that as an excuse and say the pastor or the small group facilitator or the this president or the whoever it might be, the teacher. I know I like to blame shift a lot sometimes and say, yeah, but it's this for this or that reason why I misbehaved. But God calls us to be, Scripture says we should be holy for God is holy. Okay, so the way we act, the way we talk, the things we do, okay, it should reflect the holy God that we are serving. Okay, it's to be Christ-like. And I tell you, I think it's challenging. Maybe it's just for me, but I know it's challenging to live like that. I'll be very honest. I remember, I'm just sharing the truth now. In when was it? 2013. We went to Zambia, and the one afternoon we had this a meeting. The team leaders of our mission team, me and Yaku and Reinald from Windhoek, and then Pastor Yaku got this wonderful revelation that we should wash the other church's leaders' feet. Now, I'm one of those people, and I'm just being very honest, I don't go like public toilets, and I don't like stuff if I'm working and I'm dirty, it's fine, but I don't like dirty stuff. Now, I'm just being honest here. Now, I've got no ambition in my heart to wash someone's feet. And when Yaku said this thing, I thought, yeah, you go wash the other 20 people's feet. It's your revelation. I don't feel like that. If I don't do it, it's not sin. But you know, God learns us humility. He learns us so many things. God did something there that day, which I only later got a small part of. You know, God wanted to do something, and we are just the vessels. So sometimes God will tell you, wash someone's feet. Hug that person. Give that 50 Namibian dollars to someone. And you might think like, God, you don't know what my budget look like. God, you don't know how I feel about other people's feet. But God is going to teach us stuff like that. You know, and he's doing that for his glory. This is something that I guess in the past 3 years became something central to my theology. Is that what we do, we need to give glory to God. Paul says, whether you eat or drink, give glory to God. Now, that's a very high standard. Amen? That is really, really not easy. So, when he writes here in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 and 15, and I just want to read it again, that through us, he wants to spread the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. I believe it's something really, a big responsibility resting on our shoulders, nah? To be that fragrance. We don't want to be a bad odor. It says we should be, and then he talks about this sweet aroma that we need to spread everywhere. Now, I think you might be sitting here, and you might feel that, well, Pastor, that's why we have you here, or Pastor Yaku, or other people. Maybe we've got zone coaches or elders. Those are the people that needs to do this job. No, no. It's for all of us. It's for all of us. And some of us might feel today, but you know, like a Moses. I stutter when I speak in front of people. Let those guys who really like to talk, you know, let them do the talking. Me and my wife, we always have this, I'm a pastor teacher, and I really love people, but I recharge when I'm alone, you know. Don't get me wrong here, but if I see 24/7 people all the time, I really become tired. Now, my wife is a hairdresser, and she talks all the time. I love my wife, but, you know, I usually tell her by about 11 o'clock in the morning, I'll quit my job. I will not be able to talk to people all the time that much. I'll just burn out completely. I need some of my own space and time, and then I recharge, and then I can face people again. And I love it to spend time with people. But God gave her a much bigger ability to talk and interact from 8 to 5 with people. Okay, I need to do some admin or read the word or pray or what pastors ever do. Okay? And maybe you feel you need boldness today. Maybe you feel that those people that do a lot of talking, God used them. But there's a responsibility for all of us. Let me read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It's Paul writing here. And he said, you know, I just want to get the place. It will be up there as well. Paul writing, he said, after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. Okay, I think I used a different translation there. But basically, you know, Paul were really persecuted. Him and the apostles, they were crucified at the end of their lives. Before that, they were mistreated, abused, hit in jail, in chains, everything. You see, and he said, we had the boldness in our God. And maybe if you feel today, I don't have that boldness, I want to say to you, it's okay for now, but you need to grow in it. You need to trust all of us, including me. I remember Saturday, I was really enjoying the men's camp. The tent was up. The music was working. I could just sit there, listen to all the wonderful teachings and speakers. And Pastor Yaku came to me and said, will you do the offering on Sunday morning? And I thought, I could just sit and relax and I don't have to do or say anything, because by choice, probably I wouldn't like to do it. And I said, yes, cool, I'll do it, you know. But it's that thing where some of us don't like stuff like that, but we need to grow in that. We need to grow in being in uncomfortable places. Now, especially in our families, I think that's probably the hardest mission fields. For me personally, it's easier to go to someone I really don't know, and like Pastor Mac, ask that person, do you know Jesus? And we can have a conversation. Those people you grew up in front of their eyes, your sister, my poor sister, she loves me now, but I guess when I got born again, I just wanted to show her how she's going to hell and she's wrong and everything. And I really was a bad, bad evangelist. I repented a lot. And 8 years later, she asked me to marry her. So I guess I'm forgiven. That helps a lot. But it's tough to minister to our families. But God placed us there where we already have a relationship. At work, at school, at the office, in your family, to also be an ambassador, you know. I think many times I thought in my heart, God, I really hope you send someone else that some of my family will come to salvation. But if you're honest, we have to ask, God, you're already part of your family. You should be that aroma. You should be that sweet sound, that sweet smell, where people actually see Jesus in you. As I said, that it just came to my mind that older gentleman when I was in Nepal. I just saw this man is going so straight to heaven. There's no questions about it. You just see it and you will know it. So this boldness, Paul says about this boldness that you'll have. Stephen Lungu said he reads 4 chapters every morning in the Word. Even if you just read 1 chapter, just start. You can't share the gospel if you don't know it. Okay? You can't be a well of living water if you read scripture once a week and you pray for 5 minutes in the car and it's just because you have a tough meeting at work. Okay? You have to be full. All of us have to be full. That's so important. Now, I think there's a lot of things that we can say to each other today, but we need to kill that fear of man. We need to kill that fear of man because that always keeps us from sharing the word. What will the people think when my family think if I tell them I was baptized when I was 22? Okay, in my family, you baptize people when you're 6 months old. Okay, what will they think? What will they think if I tell them I can pray in tongues? Or I go to a men's camp? Or I fasted for 3 days? Or whatever the case might be. We are so afraid because we want the approval of men. Okay, Paul, he's really such an example of he got his approval from God. There was a lot of men in the one session, and I'm just saying it with humility. I'm including myself somewhere there as well. I think it was Pastor Sias or someone, I can't remember who was speaking, and he asked the question to stand or raise hands, if you don't really know what your calling is, or where you are going, or what God really called you for. You see, those are things that we really need to bring before God and ask God. God, there's a reason. There must be a reason. The last time I preached, I spoke on Ephesians 2, verse 10, you know, that God called us for good works, which he already pre-planned, in a sense, in eternity. So we can all know God has got a plan with our lives. The fear of man, that's one of those things you need to kill in your own life. No one's going to do it for you. And it will only happen if you get your recognition from God. Okay? I'll just use myself here as an example. If I walk out and I want to hear from you guys if it was a good sermon or not, I'm going to be a puppet in your hand. But I need to share, even if I make mistakes, what I feel God laid on my heart. Okay? So you need to go after the time and not think about who applauded you, who pat you on the back or whatever. I would have quit ministry in the first week because no one said, well, thank you or anything. Okay? Maybe you feel the same at your work. Maybe you are there for 10 or 15 years and you don't get promoted or what the case might be. Do it as unto God. That's what scriptures say. So it's important that we let go of that approval of man and we say, God, you placed me here. Maybe just to be the second in charge forever and not the king of the company or whatever the case might be. And that we get that thing from God, because then you will start slowly but surely to let go of the fear of men. And I think also a pitfall that scripture talks a lot about many times, you know, is the comfort that money can buy. You know, when it's so easy to sit in your warm bed and to think about those who don't have it. No condemnation, no nothing like that. But we shouldn't trust in our finances. We should trust in God. There's one shofar pastor, it's actually a lady. She always tells the story. And she just said God is her provider. You know, and she's got a lot of testimonies about how God provided for their family over the years. And she tells the story about the one time her mom wanted to give her amount of cash in a hand, and you know, and Jesus said, Mom, I thank you, God is my provider. And the mom said, but no, I'm giving this to you. It's not God giving it to you, I'm giving it to you. So, and then she goes on and she said, Mom, I will receive it, but I have to tell you, God is my provider. And then I think at the end, if I remember correctly, the mom didn't want to give the money, you know. So we shouldn't trust in our finances to keep us safe at night, to keep our health going, whatever the case might be, okay? Nothing wrong with money in a normal way, okay? But we shouldn't place our trust in that. I thought so many times, probably a little bit of life experience for the younger people here. Many times we think, oh God, if I can just earn this amount of money, then I will be okay forever. Then you get children and that amount doesn't work anymore, or something break. Have you had that same experience? You think if you will only get this amount, or if you have that little bit of surplus in the bank or investment or something, and then it just goes wrong. God will always take us back. I have to tell you, people, there will always be circumstances in our lives which we can't control that will challenge the daylight out of us. And God allows those things so that we can stay on our knees and look to Him. Because if we can control our circumstances too much, we will, by just because of our flesh, we will push God aside. So I really just want to hold it before us as a church that we will be ambassadors for Christ. Go and read that part again. God has placed the ball in our hands to take the ministry of reconciliation that we have received, to take it to Swakopmund. Freely you have received, freely we should give. To be ambassador for Christ, I believe, is a big responsibility. It's something that God has given to all who belong to Him. Okay? And I believe we can, all of us, we can just grow in that. We can ask God in our thinking, our talking, our way we think about money, our marriages, our relationships, everything. We can say, God, I want to be a better ambassador for you. And that we can be that fragrance where people in your influence or sphere of influence will come to you and know that you're a man of God. You're a woman of God. You know, I've seen it way back 2004 where I worked there in Belleville in South Africa. People will persecute you and say bad things about your Christianity until the popo hits the fan. Then they come to you because they know his life. Then they come to you and ask, can you pray for me? Will you please pray for me? You know, when the tears are flowing, then they know where life is. Then they should know where this aroma is. God has placed all 70, 80, how many people we are here, maybe more, in different places to be the sweet aroma. And if you lack boldness, you can only get it in God. You can't get it in your flesh. Get it inside of relationship, being in Christ. That is where you will get it. To kill the flesh, to let go of a love of money or whatever the case might be. There's other examples as well. Can we please stand together? Father, we want to thank you today, Lord God. Lord Jesus, that you say in all your gospels that you came to call sinners to repentance, Lord God. Father, there was a time that all of us were sinners, Lord God. Father, I thank you that we can repent. And I thank you that through grace by faith, Lord God, that we can come and step into a living relationship with you. Father, that moment when we step into a living relationship with you, Lord God, we become part of a testimony, Lord God. And if we have a testimony, we've got something to share about what you have done in our lives, Lord God. Father, you call us to be ambassadors for Christ, Lord God. Paul says he's encouraging us to be ambassadors for Christ, Lord God, and to take the gospel, the good news, to take it everywhere, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the men's camp that we had. I thank you for every small group that we have, Lord God, that your presence is there, Lord God, that we can baptize people coming into salvation, Lord God, repenting, turning from their former ways, Lord, coming into a living relationship with Christ, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, and I pray, Lord God, that you'll raise us up, Lord God, that you will give us the boldness, Lord God, to share the gospel, to be ministers of reconciliation. Lord God, that we can see before our eyes people stepping through Jesus Christ into relationship with God the Father. Lord, today we say it's Father's Day. Father God, you are the ultimate Father, Lord God. Lord, we worship you. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy, Lord God, for grace, Lord God. But Father, we also acknowledge and say that God, you're a God that say in your word that you will judge one day, Lord God. And Father God, that we will have a heart, that we will have a burning desire in our hearts, Lord God, to see people stepping into that place of being reconciled to you, O God. That every person in the city, Lord God, will come to the knowledge of Christ, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that what we read in Scripture, we also see here in 2015 happening in front of our eyes. Father, we pray, Lord God, for all the people like me who believe they are good people that needs to be saved. Father, we pray for all the Stephen Lungus who live under a bridge, Lord God, And that people might think, oh, too far off, Lord God. Father, we all need salvation equally, just as much, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, for every good work that you have started in our lives and that you will finish that, Lord God. I pray for the strength and the courage, Lord God, for us as a church, Lord God, to be godly, to be Christ-like, to be holy like you are holy, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that with smiles on our faces, that we can be ambassadors for Christ, Lord God. I pray for a beautiful aroma, Lord God, that we will take into this nation and into this city, Lord God, that people can see and smell Jesus Christ, Lord God. Father, I pray that, yes, Lord God, for that boldness, Lord God. And Father, whether we think we're not good enough or whether we might think we don't know enough, Lord God, or maybe we just think that hopefully you will use someone else, Father, please give us that conviction in our hearts to share the gospel, to share the good news, Lord God. Father, it's so rewarding, Lord God, to see your hand at work in the lives of people, Father God. I pray, Lord God, that, yes, Lord God, for all and every lie of the enemy that we believe, where we say to ourselves that you can't use us, that you'll break it in Jesus' name, Lord God. I really trust, Lord God, that the fear of man will be broken in our lives, Lord God. Lord God, that where we are sometimes so afraid of what people might say about us, Lord, about our Christianity, about what we believe. Give us that boldness that you have given Paul and all the apostles, Lord, and all the church fathers before us, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, for the godly men and women that you raised up, Lord God, to share their stories at Awaken and the Men's Camp. People where we can look up to, where we can see people, saints, setting that example, Father God. And Lord, that it can be a challenge to us, Lord God, to be just more Christ-like, Lord God. I pray it in Jesus' name, Lord God. I just want to, as we stand here this morning, if there's something in your heart, if you feel maybe you've done something in your life somewhere, and you feel that thing is such a big issue to you that God won't use you or he can't use you, I really want to pray with you that lie will be broken, because there's nothing that you can do that is too big a sin. God wants to call you away from those things, but God really wants to get us all to a place of saying, God, yes, use me. I want to be that ambassador. And then secondly, if you are here today and that fear of man, sharing the word, maybe in front of people or maybe just in your own household, if that is a challenge to you, if you are so afraid that someone might ask you to even testify, I really would like to pray with you today. And I mean what I say. I really would like to pray with you that we trust God that fear in your life will be broken. If there's anything else in your heart today and you feel you just need prayer, there's something on your shoulders and just you just feel if it can just go away, I would love to pray with you. Okay. Jesus said we should lay hands on people and we should pray for the sick. So if there's something in your heart today, if you feel as I was preaching today, the Holy Spirit ministered to you and there's something where you need to pray a prayer of agreement with someone, I would love to pray with you. You guys must have a wonderful Sunday. If you spend time with your family, if there's a father close to you, make that father feel special today. Give him a hug. Dads, they love hugs as well. You must have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next Sunday. And those people, if you feel that there's something that you want to pray about, please stay behind. I will be here and I would love to pray with you. God bless you. Amen.